2019.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. First podcast of the year, guys. And this is episode 48. And today we are going to be looking at breakthroughs and discoveries of 2018. And some of you have been watching a really long or listening a really long
from
time.
From the beginning.
Yeah. This was our first podcast episode last year. It's kind of a janky mess because it was our first one and we didn't really know what we're doing. But here we are
audio
a year
in
later.
One ear. Like, yeah. Both of us were in, it was bad.
It was recorded in like stereo or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was bad.
But we're learning, right? And I feel like we've improved.
Hopefully.
And slightly. But yeah, so now we're going to go back and look at 2018 at all the interesting things that happened, the breakthroughs and discoveries.
Which will be very interesting. There'll probably be some stuff on here, you know, and some stuff you don't know. But
yes.
Yeah, I think it's good to reflect on the previous year and just look at everything that happened. And, you know, I think it's easy to get lost in all the noise and all the crazy shit that's going on that sometimes you forget to, you know, look and see a little bit deeper, you know, what else is going on that could be, you know, positive for the advancement of society and civilization and, interesting stuff that you might have missed. So,
yeah.
That's what we are jumping into today, but we just wanted to give a big thank you to all of you guys out there, whether you're new or you've been listening since episode one at the beginning of last year. We're coming up on our 1 year podcast anniversary, so we just want to give you guys a big thank you for supporting us, and we honestly never thought it would end up like this.
No.
I mean,
we were just talking about it.
100,000 subscribers on YouTube, like, and you know, we got our plaque finally, and
we
it's
thought
crazy.
It was going to be, I had no idea how quickly we could build this, because you know, my only experience with building a channel from the ground up was like my vlog channel, which took years to accumulate that many subscribers, or my channel, which took years as well. So this was so different. I was fully prepared to be like barely scraping by with views.
Seriously.
And like begging people to come to it, but you guys, like, I can't believe how dedicated our audience is and how natural this has become. Like the first couple episodes I did, I was so anxious. I was so nervous to be live. Like the idea of not being able to edit myself was crazy. Like, so sitting down for, you know, almost 2 hours some days and talking live is a bit intense at first. But now I was telling Josh, this is more relaxing than my videos is. I truly enjoy it. And I think that's mainly because of you guys, because of how accepting and open-minded and kind you all are. And it makes it a lot easier to just be yourself when you know that. Your audience
absolutely.
Is going to accept that.
I mean, it's mind-blowing, guys. I mean, we've been able to reach people all the way around the world. I think it's like 50 countries or something we're in. You know, people are listening us in. So shout out to all you guys all around the globe that are going a mile higher with us every week. We really, really appreciate you all. And we've got some big things planned for 2018 for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to be taking
interesting stuff on the calendar.
We're going to be taking it to a next level. We're going to be introducing some guests this year, which will be really fun. And maybe even a live event. We'll see. So,
teaser.
A little teaser right there. So lots of exciting things to come. And today we'll be reflecting on the past year. But this week's Patreon question is actually pretty interesting. It's from Shelly, I think is how you say it, but
it's C-H-E-L-L. Maybe that's Shell, like Shell, but spelled differently. Like maybe it's short for Michelle.
Could be. Yeah. It could be Shell. Anyway, her question is, do you think premature or late births affect astrology signs? For instance, you are born earlier than your due date and the day you are born on has a different sign than your due date would have originally been made for you. Could this make someone have traits different than the sign they were born under? Could this make people have traits of two signs?
I actually get asked this a lot. People will ask me if I'm born on, or like if my due date, I was like premature 3 weeks from my due date. Like, am I still like, which sign am I? Am I what I was supposed to be born on, or what day I was actually born in? And the answer is what day you were actually born on.
Right.
With astrology, and I mean, astrology ties back into like, I mean, a bunch of different belief systems, but like Wicca and the belief in the universe and things happening for a reason. So if you're born early, that was supposed to happen. That's like your unique path. Even premature babies, like people would think, well, why would any universal God or whatever makes someone born early? That's like, you know, presents a lot of health issues, but that's part of that soul's journey. Like, as we talked about before, this is something they're supposed to go through in order to build their soul and to like learn and grow.
And it's not like when, you know, you're right? Doctors don't get, when they give you a due date, it's not like an absolute. No. It's not like they know. It's not like they have any clue. You can come whenever you're supposed to come. So
yeah, look at
the end of it. Yeah, exactly.
Her baby was born 3 weeks early.
And no one plans for that. No one can, you know, tell you exactly what time and date you're going to be born. So I 100% agree that it's probably, you know, from the time you're actually, you know, breathing your first breath into the world and, you know, potentially when in, you know, the soul enters the body possibly, or your spirit, whatever you want to call it, your energy, that's, you know, that the, makes you, you enters.
A lot of people argue that maybe you're not even like truly a soul or filled with consciousness until you are actually born, which is interesting to think about. Like, what if a body is just a body until it's actually out?
It's very possible. I mean, it seems kind of probable to me.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, I don't know how much, there's probably like scientific research on the brain and everything in the womb. But
that's the thing is like, we don't understand consciousness on that level where we know where, we don't even know where it originates from. Right. So how could we say at what point does it begin?
Yeah. It's true.
We could be conscious from the minute, you know, inception occurs or
so that's inception. I mean, it's really interesting. You can think, you can look at like we can watch how Colleen's baby ends up, but she's very public about her pregnancy or birth. Colleen, what's her last, Ballinger, Miranda Sings. So her baby would have been a Capricorn because she said he was supposed to come after Christmas and he ended up being a Sagittarius. So those are two really different energies. Sagittarius and Capricorn are like, that's just so different, like way, way different. So we can kind of gauge it off his personality a little bit in the next couple of years. I mean, everyone, so many people on YouTube, I'm sure a lot of you guys are up to date with Colleen. Like, it's like the YouTube thing right now is Colleen's baby. Flynn is his name. So we'll just see how he ends up. But this, a psychic interviewed her like before, or like did a reading on her when she first got pregnant, and said that she was going to have like a really manly, like athletic boy that's really into baseball and like really like rough and tumble type of boy, which would fit Sagittarius way more than Capricorn. Yeah. So I'm curious.
That's interesting.
We'll see.
That is interesting. What do you think about being born on a cusp between two signs? Like, how does that affect?
I'm on a cusp and I'm telling you, it's real. I am an Aries Taurus cusp. And as Josh knows, I definitely, as much as I don't like to admit it, I have more Aries than I would like to admit. Like the bad Aries qualities. Like I can get really, when I get angry, I also have my my Mercury in Aries, which is communication. So sometimes my communication style is a little like, when I'm angry, when I'm mad or like stressed out, I come across like that.
Yeah, and I'm like, ooh.
But then I have my more Taurus-y side. Unless you piss me off, because then I can get mad on my Taurus side too.
Oh, yeah. Turns into a full-blown bull, guys. Full horns and everything.
Full-blown. Fiery bull. It's like a ram. I'm a ram bull mix. How lucky for you.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
I know. So Josh is not on the cusp. He's like
I'm
full,
a solid,
straight up Virgo. but yeah, it does actually matter. It can, and it changes all the time. Like you can't look up the current one for this year, or like a lot of people are like, isn't it the 22nd to the 22nd for this month or whatever? And it literally is always going to be changing. Like someone could have a different, could be on a cusp 1 year, and then someone could be born on that same day a couple years later, and they won't be on the cusp, if that makes sense. Like it's very, it depends on the year and the day. Like that's what. So
yeah, no, that makes sense.
Going on to an astrology tangent.
No, astrology is super interesting. And if you don't know much about it, which I didn't know much about astrology till, you know, fairly recently, last few years, but man, I mean, is it accurate? Like as far as, you know, helping you understand who you are and, you know, the qualities that you have. And it's just so spot on, especially for me. I know I've gotten you know, several readings and things like that. Yeah. But
when you actually take the time to understand,
when you look at your birth chart and you actually understand how everything works to, you know, works in conjunction with each other and stuff, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it really is. Like, truly is very.
We should dive into that deeper sometime.
I think we might pretty soon.
Yeah.
And we might have someone joining us for that.
Yeah, that would be really fun, I think.
Yeah, it will be very fun. All right, moving on.
Detail on that.
Oh, I'm so interested in this story. Let's talk about this.
And this now it's time for woke news this week.
Thank you, sir.
I know.
Morgan, you got to speed it up a little bit there, dude.
We got shit to do.
Woke news this week.
All right. But on a serious note, guys, this is very disturbing.
Yeah. And just fucking crazy.
Very bizarre. And I don't know. Let's just see what you guys think about this. But So I'm sure many of you have seen the actor, comedian, Sacha Baron Cohen, you know, and his glorious movies he's been in.
Which is, if you don't know who he is, I think a lot of people don't know who he is. Borat.
Is one of the one
movie? Yeah. Oh my god, I watched that with my dad when I was young.
The Dictator, like, he's in.
This is awkward. Oh yeah,
that was a more recent one.
Ricky Bobby, that one's so fucking good. When he's the French guy, and he's like sponsored by Perrier or whatever.
Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby.
I've come here to defeat you.
So he's very, very funny guy.
Extremely funny.
Very, very one of the most brilliant people like of this generation. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. He is a very, very smart comic.
Yes.
And pushes the boundaries. His ability to act undercover is unmatched.
Whole he's character so is like, he's one of those guys that can become anything and anybody, and like you will believe him. So it's really interesting. But I'm sure you heard he was hosting a show on Showtime called Who is America? And if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you probably have on. No, we can't play any clip. Copyright. Yeah. Copyright our shit.
Even if it's like 5 seconds.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Damn you, copyright system.
It's gotten crazy.
Okay, well,
but I'm sure you've seen it. It's on TV.
You have to type in Who is America?
Dick Cheney is a good funny one.
Dick Cheney's on there. Yeah, so basically he like dresses up and goes undercover and interviews all these different politicians and gets them to say the wackiest shit. Like you will not believe what these people. Yeah, Dick Cheney was about to like sign off on a waterboarding bill. Like, it was like a fake bill. He was like, oh, what? And he was like, oh, yeah, I'll support this. Or not a bill. He was like, gonna sign a petition. And then there was this guy. I don't remember who that senator was. I don't know if he was
a senator or if he was a representative
or something. Yeah, he was a congressman.
He was a congressman. Yeah, he was like
from Texas,
ultra conservative guy. And it's just wacky. Like,
he like convinced him that terrorists are afraid of butts. And so this guy fucking pulled his pants down and was like chasing Sacha Baron Cohen around.
I would
with
be
his
shocked
ass
if you
out going,
seen
fuck
this.
You,
I'm
terrorists.
Sure you
America first. Yeah. Like, oh my God. And it was real. He believed it. He fell for the whole prank. So that's what this movie is he pranks like a bunch of politicians and kind of gets them to say the like most crazy out there shit.
Really but pushing the boundaries.
When
so,
he was working on this, what happened?
Yeah. So they're finishing up the season of Who is America. And on one of the last episodes, they actually had to pull this footage because it appears that he may have uncovered some type of child sex trafficking pedo ring in Las Vegas. Now, there's actual, you know, evidence to back this up to some degree because of the interaction that he had with somebody in Vegas about this. So let me read this interview he had with Deadline.com because he explains exactly what happened and what he was doing. And he was actually playing as this character named Gio, which the aim of this character was to show the levels to which people would go to out of greed. Like, what would they do for money? And we all know like what people will do for money, pretty much anything. So this is a particular interview that didn't make it into the show. He said, we were shooting some of this at the time of Harvey Weinstein. We wanted to investigate how does someone like Harvey Weinstein get away with doing what, you know, get away with criminality, essentially. So Sacha Baron Cohen's just kind of setting it up as to what they were trying to do. Now, what happens next is kind of crazy. So he said, we decided that Gio would interview a concierge in Las Vegas. And during the interview, I revealed that basically Gio has molested an 8-year-old boy. And this is like when he plays these characters, he's like being serious. So this is like a serious situation. And he says, now, mind you, this is extreme comedy. And we thought that the guy would leave the room. Instead, this concierge stays in the room and I go, listen, you've got to help me get rid of the problem. And this guy starts advising Gio how to get rid of this issue. We even at one point talk about murdering the boy, and the concierge is just saying, well, listen, I'm really sorry. In this country, we can't just drown the boy. This is America. We don't do that. And then in the end, he puts me in touch with a lawyer who can silence the boy. It became really dark stuff. And then at the end of the interview, I say, listen, I want to go out and celebrate now. Can you get me a date for tonight? And the concierge says, what do you mean a date? He says, I go, you know, like a young man. He says, well, what kind of age? I say lower than bar mitzvah, but older than 8. And he says, and the concierge says, yeah, I can put you in touch with somebody who can get you some boys like that.
Oh, my God.
This is like a dead serious conversation with this guy.
They have recording of this.
Yeah. They have actual footage of this concierge.
He was basically doing a sting in a way.
Yeah, in a way,
you know,
yeah.
undercover.
So how does this qualify as comedy, and what did he do? So Cohen says, we immediately turned over the footage to the FBI because we thought perhaps there's a pedophile ring in Las Vegas that's operating for these very wealthy men. And this concierge had said that he'd worked for politicians and various billionaires. But in the end, the FBI decided not to pursue it.
Oh, my God. Because they know it exists.
So this is like one of the most controversial things like in the world right now. And it's this idea that people can't seem to wrap their heads around, even though we have so much proof that very wealthy individuals and just, you know, people, high level political figures, I'm not going to name any names or anything, but it seems that they may be participating in essentially human sex trafficking and sexual exploitation of children. Yeah. And this is very concerning, obviously.
And it's like, we know that this is happening. This is not like shocking news.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's
yeah.
probably shocking to a lot just of people Google out there it, that you'll don't find. Know, you know, like don't believe this stuff is actually happening. They're probably like, what the fuck?
So what's so wild about this is that it seems that he may have at least uncovered somebody that knew something about some type of ring that exists in Las Vegas.
He should
Vegas.
Have gone further and like tried yeah. to connect with that person.
Yeah. He should have been like, can we meet up with him?
Or, yeah.
you know, try to, I mean, that's going way beyond yeah. the bounds of what the show was supposed to. This was supposed to be comedy, and it turned yeah. into this really dark situation yeah. where, you know, it's we're all funny. Of a sudden, you know, uncovering this reality that there is this, you know, really sick rings of, you know, people that are exploiting children for money. And
do people really not know that this is happening though?
Like, yeah, a lot so of people don't me. Know. A lot of people don't
I guess
know.
I didn't know a few years ago.
Because I think because this is such a
you
dark
think
topic.
Only in certain countries or something.
Yeah, and I mean, the mainstream media very rarely talks about
oh yeah,
it pedophile rings, child sex trafficking. Yeah, it makes people uncomfortable, but the sad here's the reality, guys, and I want to do an entire episode dedicated to human trafficking, sex trafficking because this is like a mind. This is perhaps the biggest issue in today, you yeah. know, this day and age.
That's
like,
why I work with Thorn.
Exactly.
I think it is the biggest issue of this day and age.
Absolutely. The most undiscussed, you know, undisclosed issue that most people have zero idea about. Mm-hmm. So the International Labor Organization estimates that there are 40.3 million victims of human trafficking globally. That's one of the things about it, too, is it's not just like, oh, yeah, there's just human trafficking in certain areas, certain states, certain countries. This literally spans the entire world. Every single country has this problem.
Yep.
And, you know, this is not, you know, only central to one particular country or state or city. Mm-mm. This is global, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Every state has something going on.
40.3 million, though, that's a lot of
yeah,
people.
Yeah, that is. Well, I mean, look how many people are missing, dude. Where do you think they all are?
Yeah. Speaking of that, so 81% of them are trapped in forced labor. 25% of them are children, which just blows my mind. And 75% are women and girls.
So bad, dude. I can't. It's like, I feel like so many of us probably you have not experienced what it's like to have no freedom, like no freedom. Not limited freedoms because your parents are grounding you or whatever.
No, like modern slavery. Like
no freedom.
No.
No freedom to do anything.
You work.
Even going to the bathroom when you want to or where you want to. Like you do what other, you are owned.
Literally, you're like, a piece of property. It's
that's why.
Literally slavery.
It's horrible, especially sex slavery. Because it's like then you have no control of anything,
and
even
children,
your body.
And children and young kids that never, you know.
And it's like innocent. Even if we do get them out, the amount of damage they have is insurmountable.
It's mind-boggling. It really is. And 54% of all traffic victims just in 2014 were trafficked for the purpose of sexual exploitation, which yeah. is just fucking sick. Yeah. It really is.
I know.
It's a $150 billion industry, and that's why these rich individuals are involved in it. I mean, it takes money. Like people are like, "Well, how do they cover this up?" Like that's everybody's excuse for not knowing about something or pretending that something isn't real is like, if this was such a big problem, then why wouldn't we just see this happening
yeah.
all the time? Like,
yeah.
why don't I just see people, you know, why don't we see this more in the news? Well, it's because, for one,
the news
doesn't cover it because they're all about, they're trying to cover like, good stories or like major.
There are stories, and there's parents trying to contact mainstream media saying my kid just got out of sex trafficking. There was that family in that Jane Doe movie. That's a great place to start. I always recommend it. Jane Doe on Netflix really helps people like understand how big this is and how much it's going on in America, like in your backyard. It's crazy. But this woman tried everything to get someone to help. And sorry, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here. What were you saying?
She tried to get this woman, Jane Doe. You're talking about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh, shoot. God.
It's all right. We'll come back to it.
My brain literally was just like, nope.
It's all right. But so this is the most mind-boggling statistic is that.
I'm sorry. That they were she tried to get media coverage. Yeah. That's what I was saying. I'm sorry. That just literally slipped my mind. She tried to get media coverage. She said she contacted CNN. She had a major lawsuit against Backpage.com, which is kind of like.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a Craigslist type of website, but they got caught for basically assisting sex trafficking. Eventually shut it down, but it was a really big, it was such a problem. They wouldn't even cover that. Like, they don't cover it on the news. They don't want to talk about that on the news. They want to give you the 24-hour Trump cycle and whatever else bullshit they want to feed down your throat to fit the narrative and to control the conversation. If it gets into sex trafficking, imagine the fucking things they would have to face and the questions they would have to ask to the people that come right on their show.
Yeah.
There are people that are involved in this shit that go on TV.
That you see on TV.
So.
Absolutely.
Plus, a lot of the people that are very high up at these major media corporations. I mean, the major media is controlled by 6 different companies, correct? So those people go up a little higher. It might be probably less than that, all actually. To the same source.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Everything is a pyramid, guys. Everything
those types of people, those higher ups are involved in this shit. So obviously they don't want it on the news.
No, they don't want people asking questions and becoming concerned and people collecting into groups to start searching into this stuff and looking into it. I mean,
Ashton Kutcher's a major threat to them.
Yeah. I mean, his company, his Thorn organization is, you know, using technology to seek out places where people are being, you know, trafficked and things like that. And identifying, you know, where these people are and actually finding individuals and helping bring them home. So,
and they do a lot to help with the child pornography issue as well.
Yes, which is a major issue. But this is just wild. In 2017, an estimated 1 out of 7 endangered runaways reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children were likely child sex trafficking victims. That is just, it's alarming, especially when you first know about it. I mean, I remember growing up and, you know, especially as I got older, going into grocery stores and Walmarts, things like that. And there's always that bulletin board, like kind of right as you walk in. That's like usually one of the missing and exploited children's billboards that's got a bunch of faces on it. And I always just was like, where do these people go? And I mean, obviously a lot of them get found, they're actual runaways and they, you know, they're brought back home, but
they're not
set up there
all being kidnapped by like weirdos that just want to have them in their house. Like, yeah, that happens to some people, but the majority of them are being like sought out and like used, stolen as becoming an object. You lose everything that you have, any freedom that you have, any ounce of sense of
self, just reality. I mean, your reality is completely changed.
Gone. You have no choices anymore.
Yeah, they completely.
It's so awful, and it really does happen everywhere, and especially all you women out there. I know I say this, I really drive this home, but be careful, especially in Walmarts and Walmart parking lots. Like, really dangerous shit happens. And if anyone ever comes up to you and is just talking to you about some weird shit or being like, hey, come to my Bible thing.
If anybody's telling you to come anywhere with them, that should be a red flag.
Don't.
Especially if it's,
because that's how it is happening a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I see it all over the internet all the time of people having these encounters with sketchy individuals, especially at big box stores.
Walmarts.
With huge parking lots. And
it's normally women that pick up the women.
Yeah.
Like,
they'll fool you. Yeah. They'll completely fool you.
It's not going to look like a scary guy in a black mask. It's going to be someone normal looking.
They've gotten so good. They're not going to just like risk being identified. I mean, they're going to do it in the most casual way.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we've seen this with with other types of groups or, you know, people that start cults and things that try to get you to join them, you know, and it could end up being something way worse than what you were originally told. So just be vigilant and, you know, watch out for other people, watch out for yourself, look over your shoulder, especially if you're, you know, female and you're, you know, you're rolling solo most of the time. Seriously, just keep an eye out and, you know, never, especially at night, walk with your, you know, looking at your phone or anything, just basic things like that could save your life.
You just need to look aware, like look like you're walking with a fucking purpose. You're not dilly-dallying. You don't look like you'd be easily taken advantage of. You look like someone who know, who's got their shit together. And I really suggest carrying pepper spray in this day and age or any type of
pepper spray is the best
or a taser too. Either one. Yeah,
taser's harder. Pepper spray is better.
Yeah, I agree.
If you spray pepper spray, you're gonna disable that person unless they have like goggles on or something.
Yeah, honestly. But I think just walking with a purpose makes a big difference too. Like they're looking for a certain type of person that looks like they're not paying attention, someone they could easily take advantage of.
Yeah.
Someone weak.
Yes.
So don't look weak. Don't make yourself look distracted and easy to take advantage of. You know, you're out there with a purpose and you're not letting anyone fuck with you. Seriously, the biggest thing is don't walk on your phone. Like do not walk around in public on your phone. Unless you're in like the mall or a restaurant, like if you're at in night outside in the outside, do not be on your phone.
No,
because they will look for someone like that. That's looking down because then someone can come up and, you know, get you out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. And at night you can disappear. Yeah. I mean, just look at all the people that disappear without a trace, literally vanish. All the people that we constantly talk about that just vanish in thin air. I mean, yeah, there might be some bizarre reason they did, but what are the statistics say? The statistics say that it's very likely they could have been taken and then disappear into sex trafficking, which the rings roll around the entire world, dude. So you could, you know, be taken and sent somewhere else, you know, that you have, you know, no one will ever find you there and know that you're there. So it's very frightening. And I think the scariest thing is knowing that this is literally in all of our backyards. It doesn't matter where you live.
No.
Maybe Antarctica. One of the worst. Yeah.
It seriously is.
It really is.
Johnny Gosch was held here for like years, according to I mean, from what they've figured out, it sounds like he was held here.
Yeah.
Remember, his initials were carved in that house.
Yeah. God, it's just crazy. So, yeah, definitely be safe, stay vigilant, because this is happening and it's very, very sick. And hopefully we can, I don't know. I don't know how we even fix this problem because it's so big. I don't know what has to be done, but I don't know. We'll have to dive into that more later. But our second story today is interesting just because we are a big fan of this country, and I think it's kind of helping set a precedence for the rest of the world, and that is Thailand actually finally legalized medical marijuana and kratom, which I thought kratom was already legal there, but it wasn't.
Wait, how could it not be legal? That's where it originates from.
I know, right?
It's from a special tree that grows in Thailand.
I know, but they basically deemed it a, you know, substance that... Yeah, no, I know.
It's like from bark of a tree.
So the Thai government passed the new legislation for this on Christmas Day, which approved the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes and research. Marijuana in Thailand, similar to America, was the traditional medicine sold in apothecaries to relieve pain and fatigue. What, you know, no surprise there. Until it was till its prohibition in the 1930s. So very similar to the U.S., which is weird that like everybody... You know, kind of at the same time, it seems like around the world, all of a sudden just like outlawed marijuana.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I'm like, what was happening around 1930s?
Well, is that when it was outlawed here? Was it 1930s? I thought it was like 50s.
No, it was, I think it was earlier than that.
Really?
Let me see.
I'm thinking war on drugs. That's not.
Well, there was the Controlled Substance Act, but marijuana has been, let's see. In the... 1920
okay,
or no so tax act of 1937. So yeah, it was the 30s
around the same time,
which is interesting because it's like, if you believe in this like cannabis conspiracy of like, oh, they don't want us to, you know, use these natural drugs because A, they take money away from other industries, but B, they open minds. You know, it's very interesting. Like maybe there was some type of global, global conspiracy with it. I don't know. It's very interesting. But kratom was something else I wanted to talk about a little bit today. Which if you've never heard of kratom, It is a tropical evergreen tree in the coffee family, which is indigenous to Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, and it has been used in traditional medicine since at least the 19th century. So a lot of people use kratom for managing chronic pain, for treating opioid withdrawal symptoms, and now some people use it for recreational purposes. But the thing
kratom for recreational purposes? Yeah, like fun?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could, yeah. I mean, the main thing with it is some people are kind of like abusing it in a way and mixing it with other stuff. Like some people are putting kratom into their like codeine and, you know, their lean and making it extra like.
One time I accidentally had a drink after I had taken kratom, like a couple hours later, but still kratom lasts a long time. And I take big doses because I have, so when I have like a flare up, I don't take it every day. I save it for when I have flare up so that I don't get like too tolerant to it. But yeah, one time I drank on it and I felt like, remember that night we were at Cheesecake Factory? Yeah. I was fucked up.
Yeah.
I was.
Well, that's the thing about it is that it really, I look at it as very much a medication, just as like anything else that's a medication. And it's a natural one that does wonders for people. I know some of you have out there have reached out to us and asked us if we've tried Kratom or not.
It is amazing. Like when I have really bad pain, I can take a lot of it and... But it makes me tired. It makes me want to pass out.
Like, it does have kind of, so if you're wondering what it's like, it's kind of like, is a Xanax the right word? Isn't it really, it's not really Xanax. It's more like, I don't know. It kind of gives you, it definitely takes care of any pain that you're having, any physical chronic pain, especially. It relaxes your mind and it really just allows you to just calm down to a calm state and even help you sleep better. And it's kind of it's got sedative effects to it for sure.
It can make you feel a little like, whoa, like loopy, especially if you like don't smoke at all or don't like use anything else.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it could be like, or if you've never like had any type of Xanax or something like that.
It could be very powerful. Yeah,
I would be definitely careful with it and start small. Don't just like take a bunch because some people do. Because some people take like huge amounts of it for pain. If you have serious chronic pain, some people have to take like a very large amount to get. Like me, like I don't have to take too much, but I still take a lot more than like someone would for a like sore knee or something, you know? Like I have to, that's my whole body is sore. So I have to like take enough that it'll actually make a difference. But
it's interesting, though, that it has to be essentially brought over from that part of the world. And it's been sold in the U.S. for a while now. But in 2016, actually, the DEA and the FDA were trying to get it put into, you know, listed as a Schedule I drug. Because they say that there is no evidence that kratom is safe or effective for treating any condition. And that's from the United States Food and Drug Administration this year. So, and that's the thing is that this has not, there hasn't been a ton of research done on it like it should, like, like every other natural medication. So, you know, they're quick to say, oh, there's no research. So therefore there's no, you know, benefits to this, you know, substance. So we're just going to flat out ban it and make you go to, you know, go to prison if you get caught with it.
Yeah.
But luckily people that did use, kratom, and it's, people pronounce it different ways. I always have pronounced it kratom. People pronounce it just so you know if I'm saying it wrong to some of you. But
what do some of people say it as?
Kratom.
Kratom.
Yeah, I mean, there's just different. I've always heard it as kratom, so that's just the way I say it. But it's definitely has a stimulant effect at lower doses, and it definitely has an opioid-like effect at higher doses. So, and it does work in the same way that like other opiates work, but it's not really opiate. Like it's very confusing, but. By no means are we saying or condoning that you guys should try kratom. You know, that's
careful.
It's totally up to you. Do your research.
Talk to your doctor first.
Talk to your doctor because there have been instances of people dying from, not many, but there have been people that have died from using too much kratom when they've mixed it with other things.
Yeah, it's always when it's mixed though. Like,
yeah. Because you'd have to do it on a, it'd have to be a lot.
Yeah.
And even then. So.
Sorry, I just like choked on my spit.
But it's good news that it's finally being, you know, legalized and, you know, researched in Thailand and they're going to start taking it more seriously because I think it could be a very helpful thing with the right amount of research. It could help us fight this opioid problem that we have
definitely
in the U.S. Because if you can wean people off opioids and give them kratom, that is much better for their bodies
is natural,
you know, and is natural, but still helps them get off of them, then that could be really good for, you know, society. And especially
when you're
having
pain like that, like, it's so nice.
Even CBD doesn't,
so nice.
Doesn't take the pain away.
Not
sometimes.
As much as Kratom.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a level up. Sometimes
absolutely.
It's, like, too much. Like, I wouldn't need it every day, but luckily I don't have pain every single day. But
yeah. It's actually illegal in Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Tennessee, Vermont, Wisconsin, and the District of Columbia.
Dude, I'm really surprised we bought some in, where were we? North Carolina.
North Carolina, yeah. Yeah. It's legal. You can buy it online. You can literally type Kratom and buy it online, have it shipped to your house, no problem. So it's just, you know, you want to make sure where you live, it's, you know, if you got caught with it, then you could
and
get...
Please don't get this to use as like a drug to get fucked up. Like,
no,
this is like for serious pain and stuff. But if you really have those issues, I highly suggest looking into it at least and talking to a doctor, because it really does help. Like, I can tell you firsthand. So.
It really does. It can do wonders for you. This was very interesting that I had no idea, but if you are caught trafficking marijuana in Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia, you can be subject to the death penalty.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Damn, death penalty?
Death penalty.
That's fucked up.
Isn't it?
That's so messed up.
That's crazy.
What the fuck is that?
But the good thing is, like, because Thailand is the first Southeast Asia country to legalize it and recognize that it has medicinal benefits, I think what we're starting to see is kind of a domino effect a little bit. I think we're starting to see, you know, other countries are starting to be like, oh, okay, maybe we should start taking this seriously. What do the people want? Oh, the people do want us to let them use this for, you know, medicinal purposes and things like that. So, I mean, if anything, I hope that especially marijuana becomes legal medicinally across the world, you know, recreational, whatever. You know, but there's a lot of people that need this medicine. Yeah. And, you know, some of you have said, oh, well, why do you guys talk about drugs so much? To us, these are
medications.
These are natural medications.
I honestly get offended when someone says I'm talking about drugs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just getting stoned. No, bitch. Like, I have serious health problems, and marijuana and kratom are excellent natural
and
medications
hemp CBD.
That can keep me from having to go on opioids. And I will fight to the death on anyone who disagrees with that or tries to tell me that it's wrong. And I will keep spreading awareness about it. We talk about it because it's fucking important. And there's a lot of people out there that need this. Like, there's so many studies that this could really, really help major diseases. And I mean, educate yourself on this before you judge it.
You draw a conclusion. That's all we ask is.
Yeah. I hate when I have that conversation with people who haven't even done a basic Google search on
my
it.
Own
it's
parents.
Like, you know what? If you literally are just going to go off things you've heard, then I'm not going to even talk to you.
No.
Like, I'm not going to have a conversation with someone about something that you don't even understand. Come back to me when you've researched it a little bit and we can actually talk. Because it's so annoying. Like,
it
people
really
who
is.
Barely know anything about it will act like they're like, they know everything when it comes to it. It's like, dude, you don't know. You don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Is just people have had the stigma of what weed and marijuana is based upon, you know, all of the years that it hasn't been legalized and regulated and, you know, it's become this like kind of dark, scary thing. You got to go see a drug dealer to buy it.
It's
and it's like,
so
oh, it could
dumb.
Be laced with something or, you know, something like that. Now, you know, I got fucking four dispensaries, five within, you know, a mile of me. And when I go in there, it's professional. It's like, here's what do you need? Oh, you need the CBD with the THC. Okay, we got that. It's very,
I just
it's
don't
become,
understand.
It's like,
so weird.
Yeah, we can go to fucking liquor store on New Year's Day and get a, you know, 40 of alcohol and get fucked up.
Which
and
there's a lot of studies showing that alcohol may not even be like, may not even be meant to drink alcohol as human beings. Like, our bodies may not even be supposed to be taking in alcohol.
We could be just like poisoning ourselves.
We probably are. And the government doesn't give a fuck. They're not worried about people smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, look at all the
cigarettes
issues
don't make you open your mind.
Right.
Alcohol doesn't make you open your
makes
mind.
You
it makes
Ill.
You dumber, honestly. I can speak from experience on that
one. Yeah, and it opens you up to all sorts of health risks and everything else. So, you know, and then, you know, ending up needing pharmaceuticals and it's this giant cycle, as you can see. So
yeah, they take the ones that, I mean, think about it like lavender, chamomile, those are all herbs. Those have natural, I give my bunny lavender because it calms him down.
It's so dumb.
It's so stupid. Like, it's just like anything like that. You know, it's
they don't
plant.
Want. That's the thing is, it comes down to they don't want you to have anything psychoactive that will open your mind, expand your consciousness, awaken you.
Yeah.
They don't want that to happen. They do not want that to happen. And now that it's starting to, I think they're shitting bricks. That, you know, oh shit. Because imagine if everybody is able to, you know, open their minds and just
I became more raise your awareness. Open-minded from marijuana. Like, I can thank marijuana for how open-minded I am. Truly, I was way closed-minded like 5 years ago. Josh will tell you, I'm like a different person than I was in high school. It's like major goody two-shoes. I was so judgmental about weed at first. Like, I was so weird about it.
Shit out of me. Yeah.
I like got mad at him. We got major, like mad.
But that's normal, right? That's become normal. Because that's what our teachers taught us. That's what our parents taught us.
Josh, that's so bad. You're doing drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoking pot. Like, And then I tried it. I was like, wow, this really helps my anxiety. Like, this is really amazing. And then, you know, as my health problems have gotten worse, I've used it as more of a medication. But I'm just so glad that I even started using it because it made me open up to all of these things. Like, we never had conversations like this. We didn't talk about aliens and consciousness and all this. We did not before we started smoking.
Not really.
Not, we had deep talks, but like not about this type of stuff.
Yeah.
We've always been into talking and like we did question, like we used to talk about religion a lot in life and purpose
and the
of
government
life.
And stuff a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But I was like majorly on the Democrat side. Like now I've become so much more open minded that I don't identify with either side. And I can thank marijuana for opening my mind. So.
And if you've never tried it, it you know, it's hard to explain. You know, what it's like, and, you know, the experience is different for everybody. But I think if you were to talk to any regular user of cannabis, they would tell you that exactly what Kendall just said, is that it raises your awareness. It allows you to think deeper. Mm-hmm. It allows you to reflect on yourself. Like,
yes, tons of self-reflection. Just the amount of personal growth I've done because of times using marijuana and how close it brings you and I mean, we've talked about this before, like our relationship is so much better when we have marijuana involved in the situation because we don't like.
And we're not addicted. We're not like dependent on it. We could quit cold turkey today and be fine forever. You know? So
like I wouldn't be like withdrawing tomorrow.
It's
would
an
suck,
enhancement. It enhances our already great life.
Health issues. But yeah, I grew up in a house with a lot of alcohol use. And a lot of fighting, like a very, very chaotic household as a child. And so for me, it's like, why, like when Josh and I smoke at the end of the day and unwind and like my parents would have their glass of wine, this is when they would start drinking and they'd end up fighting by the end of the night. But Josh and I just love on each other all the time because like we let things go easier. We don't get as hung up about little things. We're just more loving towards each other. And I know that is because marijuana, because our relationship wasn't as good before this.
Like, yeah. And it melts away your anxiety.
I was so anxiety riddled that Josh and I probably wouldn't even be together today.
Probably not.
Because I was
honestly
driving him fucking crazy before I started using it. So, I mean, to me, it's like, it's almost something spiritual. I'm like thankful for, I'm thankful to the universe and to the planet for giving me this as a gift.
Beautiful thing. Yeah. And honestly, and this is not just a high thought here. This is real talk right now. When I worked in IT, I had a client that was a marijuana dispensary. Coolest thing I ever did was I got to go to their grow house, which sounds crazy to some of you, I'm sure. But in Denver, there's big warehouses. You walk in and they have them all set up and they have just rows of marijuana plants. And I'm not joking. These plants are some of the most beautiful beautiful nature plants I've ever seen in my life. And the buds and the flowers are just beautiful.
They
looks like a living entity, honestly,
it
when
does.
You look at it.
Compared to other plants, it looks almost alien-like.
It does. It
is
really
a beautiful
does.
Plant. It is.
It has
the
like
fact
the little
that, like,
crystals and turf, like it's.
It has crystals on it. Like,
it's beautiful.
Shit's blessed.
It really is.
But anyway, I think now we're going into
shout
like
out to Denver Tourism. Come tour. 420 tour.
No, I think they got shut down. 420 tours.
There's a bus you could get high on and drive around.
Yeah, the CNN girl did it last year on YouTube. She was like taking bong hits on CNN.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, we have come a long way.
That's pretty good.
Welcome to 2000. What was it? 18. Now we're in 19. God, 2020 is coming. That's
I know.
Fucking wild.
It is. But I feel bad for those of you that want some marijuana but can't get it. So
yeah, I do too. I feel bad for you guys.
You know, but the good thing
but
is
but come to
that,
Colorado and like hang out. You can stop by the studio and smoke with us.
Don't open that up. No, that'd be awesome. But
that would be cool.
if you guys are in need of some relief from anxiety, definitely check out hempbombs.com.
Next best thing.
Really, hemp CBD products will do, you know, everything that we're talking about minus the high, you know.
Yeah, minus the psychoactive. Right. But everything else, yeah.
But everything else, anxiety and pain. Definitely helps. So just so you guys are aware, you can get 20% off your order with Mile Higher code at checkout. So definitely check that out if you're in need of that.
That's what I'm normally taking because, you know, you don't want to like.
I do all day on CBD because I don't like to work and be all like, you know, high. I just can't focus that well.
It depends on what I'm
doing. Depends on the work too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I'm filming, no, but like editing, I can do.
I get a little sidetracked. I'm like, you know,
I just try to avoid it, but like CBD is better.
CBD is great stuff.
And stuff when you have to focus, but yeah.
All right. Sorry for ranting on and on about those.
Well,
intro
this will
topics.
Be a long episode in exchange for letting us talk for so long because.
Yeah. And us being a couple days late this week. So
yeah, it'll make it extra long.
But today's first sponsor is Bespoke Post. When you're constantly on the go, grinding away at the office or hanging out with friends, there's not much time to think about upgrading your style or apartment. That's why I love getting a new box of awesome from Bespoke Post every month. These guys are out scouting for quality and unique products to send in each box, and now you can experience it too at boxofawesome.com. So basically, they put together, they give you a quiz, you know, like a lot of subscription boxes, and they ask you what different things you'd like. And in this case, it's a lot of things that has to do with style, drinking accessories. There's a lot of grooming accessories for men, things like that. Different things for travel. There's just all kinds of cool little gadgets and things like that that they put into a really cool subscription box for you. So all you got to do to get started is visit boxofawesome.com. And then, like I said, answer a few short questions and they'll help them get a feel for what type of box will go best with your style. So whether you're in search of the perfect drink, a well-kept pad, or jet setting in style, Bespoke Post improves your life one box at a time. Each box goes for under $50 and has more than $70 worth of unique gear waiting for you inside. The first of each month, you'll receive an email with your box details, and you have 5 days to change colors and sizes or add extra goods to your box if you're not filling that month's box, or you can just skip it, which I love subscriptions that give you those options, so that's really great. They've got all kinds of cool stuff for the modern man. Barrel aging kits, limited edition cigars, weekender bags, dop kits. They have all the essential goods. It's really great for your guys out there, ladies. So I definitely highly recommend checking it out. To receive 20% off your subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter code MileHigher at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code MileHigher for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post theme boxes for guys that give a damn. Hell yeah. Thank you, Bespoke Post. All right. So 2018 was a very interesting year, right? Yes, it was.
Sorry, I'm coming.
I'll answer my own question. So the year started out. So I want to just mention a few stories that happened this year that were just really mind-blowing and interesting. First one that came at the beginning of this year or this past year was the first ever cloning of primates, which they use similar techniques to the one they cloned Dolly the sheep. Zong Zong and Hua Hua are long-tailed monkeys. And they were born in a research facility in China. Not only that, but Barbara Streisand cloned her dogs too, or her dog, and got like two extra dogs from cloning. You want to clone your rabbit?
Yeah, I was going to say, since I mentioned my bunny, you guys haven't seen him yet. I'm hoping that when we're recording in the studio, because my bunnies live in the studio, that I can bring him on sometimes.
Oh man.
He's going to hang out. It's okay. Apollo. His name's Apollo. And I have one named Athena too. So he's just going to, I just feel bad. I want to pet him for a little while.
But this, so.
Josh is like, yeah, whatever.
I'm like, who cares
about
your
fucking bunnies?
I have to hear about these damn rabbits like
I
all
love
day,
them.
Every day.
I love, oh, don't be crazy.
He's freaking out.
I love him.
She's got him sitting in her lap in the
he's
chair.
He's a good boy.
He's freaking out.
Yeah, he's scared.
But this year, we made major advances in cloning. And cloning is something that is very interesting, but yet terrifying at the same time.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Holy fuck. If we can clone humans pretty soon, then, oh man, it's going to be a whole different world that we're going to be in. If, you know, you start being able to clone yourself or like different things like that. But what I wanted to mention is interesting is like the big question, right, is if you clone a human, then, you know, is that human going to be exactly like you down to your personality, your traits?
That's my big question.
All, you know, mentally, all those different things. Are they going to be exactly like you? Right. Or is it just a copy of you? Well, what's interesting is that Barbara Streisand has said that her two clone dogs have different personalities.
That's so weird. What's the point?
They look exactly the same as the other dog.
See, that's weird. She could have just got another dog that looked like that.
Yeah,
I guess true. When you're Barbra Streisand, you just got money to blow.
I think it was like $50,000 or something per.
That's fucking nuts for a dog. I love Bernie, but I'm not going
to
clone
him. But I think the only reason I'd want to clone my pet is to get the personality, right?
Yeah, you'd exactly. Get his same personality, I get that. I do get that.
But that doesn't seem to be the case. So what this suggests is like, if we're able to clone humans, or you had the option to say clone yourself, your body, are you going to get just a duplicate Josh exactly the same way that Josh is? No, you're not. Because Josh is going to have his own mind of his own, but just look like you physically. So it's like, whoa, you know, what could go wrong with that, right? Because then you start wondering, like, does this confirm the idea? This will answer a big question about consciousness, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It will tell us if we're able to clone, tell us if we're going to be able to replicate it like we think we might be able to do with technology. But at the same time, it could create a whole, I could just think about all the different problems it could create if people could just clone their bodies and then like harvest their organs or something for yourself. Like all the different weird things that people could do if they're able to clone. Like what if I could clone my wife? I could have two wives that are my same
wife.
Yeah,
that's like, a little weird.
People would do weird stuff. You know they would.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting. And cloning is something that's going to be, I think, a lot more prominent. Maybe not just this coming year, but in the next 5 to 10 years could really become a huge thing. But then other story that just was like crazy is the 12 boys and their soccer coach in the Thailand cave.
This was the best story of the year. This was such a feel good story.
It really was
inspiring.
It was very inspiring. And I hope they make a movie of it.
So I think they will. People jumped on
what happened. But yeah, if you didn't hear, it was just a team of young boys on a junior soccer team and their 25-year-old coach, and they went into this cave that they go in all the time, but it was during rainy season, and all of a sudden it started raining and they got flooded, the entrance got flooded, and they got stuck inside this cave for nearly 18 days.
That's so crazy.
And all the caverns were flooded.
That's so long. Imagine how long that would feel sitting in a cave.
Especially as a young kid, like, these kids were like 10, 11, like really young, no, like barely any water.
Mm-mm.
It's honestly mind blowing that all of them survived.
Yeah, for real. It's amazing.
It really is. But after 18 days, they actually rescued all of them. They had to dive them out. It was amazing. And it ended up being a happy ending.
It was so interesting how they put them in like little pods with people on either side of them to bring them through.
Yeah.
And like drugged them. So they're basically like
sedated them and
just chilling.
Just chilling in the pod, just getting
probably sleeping.
Drug out. Yeah.
I bet they were sleeping and stuff. I would have to
just like, yeah.
I mean, they had to, like, cause they, thrashing around totally could have killed someone.
Yeah.
So wild. But that one guy did lose his life. I forget his name, but he was already retired.
The Navy SEAL, the Thai Navy SEAL. Yeah. He lost his life in the cave.
Yeah. On the way out.
Yep. But that was a really interesting story. Also, this year, we found out how terrible Facebook truly is, which I hate Facebook. I'm sorry. I do not like Facebook.
I haven't been able to get into my Facebook for legit 6 months. I forgot the password, and I don't use that email or phone number anymore, so now I can't get in.
They're terrible. They let a quiz app on Facebook this year, we found out this year, that data from 50 million Facebook users was taken without the user's permission via this personality quiz app on Facebook. And then it was then sold to a data firm, Cambridge Analytica, in which then the Trump presidential campaign accessed data from.
Oh yeah.
So it's this huge, huge fucking scandal, and it just, everybody's mind's like, oh God, Facebook sold our data. It's like, yeah, what do you think they're doing? What are all these companies doing? Selling your data.
Yeah, of course. It's all free for you to use. They're clearly getting something from you.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a really big deal. And I just got an email this week about Facebook is like getting crazy with it and like censoring a ton of stuff.
Really?
Yeah, they are. I got an email from the Carolina Hemp Company, actually, and she wanted me to just say that Facebook shut down their entire page for like promoting drugs and stuff. CBD, damn, like hemp CBD.
Damn.
And they had thousands of, they had like 10,000 or so use like followers on it. And that was like their main social media.
Oh my God.
They were planning to move locations and all these things. And all of a sudden the page just got completely shut down and they can't get it back.
Oh, I'd be so pissed. Holy shit.
So it's a big problem. And, you know, we're seeing this across all the social media platforms is, you know, some levels of censorship this year, you know, like we saw with Alex Jones and everything like that. So I don't know. It's a little alarming and I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, delete your Facebook.
Seriously.
I need to still.
I do too, but I want to download everything off of it.
But there's so many people on it. So it's like you still want to be able to reach all those people on it.
Or stalk them.
Because they have so many users. I think they have more users than any other platform by miles.
Yeah, I know.
So and it's heavily used in other countries too. A lot of other countries really down with Facebook. But another big thing this year was just weather and hurricanes and the storms were crazy. Hurricane Maria, which left Puerto Rico without electricity for 11 months. Can you imagine not having electricity for 11 months?
I can't believe it ended up taking that long. I was shocked at the 3-month mark. Now 11 months. Good God.
I can't even imagine. Like, I get pissed. We had the electricity go out for like a day and we're just like pissed. Can't do anything.
Probably wasn't even out for
not even a day.
It was probably like a few hours.
Yeah. It was probably like 12 hours or something, but it's awful. And I feel for all the people that were affected by, you know, all these hurricanes this year, you know, Hurricane Harvey, Florence, I think was one of them, and just bad. And the storms are getting worse. So much bad news we're bringing you today.
I know.
Everything is getting worse. The world's getting, but it is like, I hate to say it. I mean, I think there's room to be optimistic and you know, I think we can still change a lot of things, but at the same time, I think we do need to be aware that, you know, the climate, things like that is getting more intense and these storms are just going to get worse and worse. So, you know, definitely keep that in mind, especially if you live in areas where you're affected by hurricanes and things like Indonesia just got plowed by a tsunami. Like I watched a video, these guys are playing on stage and then all of a sudden they're swept off by a wave. It was just crazy. I was like, whoa, all of a sudden a wave just plows through the stage, picks everybody up and throws them. And it's like,
dude, and like the power of the ocean water is so wild.
Yeah.
Like it fucking
tsunamis are.
You.
Yeah. Tsunamis just like take just levels an area. It's crazy. So just wanted to mention that because it's just gotten so bad and it's only going to get worse in the coming years. But some lighter news, SpaceX, Elon Musk, shout out, launched the world's most powerful rocket, the Falcon Heavy, and used a reusable heavy lift launch vehicle, which was pretty cool. And he launched that from Cape Canaveral in Florida this year. And they were able to carry twice the payload as its nearest competitor, and it also costs less. So private space travels, private aerospace companies are doing way more than the government ones are, for sure.
Yeah.
But
that's why it's so important.
You know, I really believe in Elon Musk, and I'm not ashamed to say that. And I think that he's got the right idea about where our future needs to go and mm-hmm. is legitimately in this not for money, but for mm-hmm. you know, bettering our civilization, our world, getting us to
survival
other planets.
Of our yeah. race, honestly.
Like, I think he's like watched Interstellar a few times, like I have, and has like started.
Or he just knows some shit.
Which, God, by the way, you know, you guys, I'm sure you guys think about like all the movies and how like maybe like the government and stuff is like putting these plots into mm-hmm. production for us to see to kind of like prepare us for
idea.
What's to come.
Yeah.
Because, like, Interstellar is one of those, I'm like, this is, like,
that, like, really
coming
helps
true.
Me understand a lot of things, though, Interstellar. Like, it put a visualization with a lot of concepts. It was so
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Which, if you haven't seen it, absolutely recommend that. But it was also interesting that
I think
Elon...
you've said that 15 times this year.
If you can't tell, I love that movie. It's my favorite movie, so
we need to have a day
off.
To watch that soon. I love
we
that
We need
movie
to have
too.
A subscriber Interstellar party.
Viewing.
Viewing, yeah.
In our
we'll
backyard.
Just rent out a theater and we'll just play
okay,
Interstellar.
Or a theater.
And then we'll all sit in a giant circle
we
and talk about
the
theories
Center.
And stuff. That's crazy.
That'd be
that
cool.
That would be
as
awesome.
Fuck.
That'd be awesome.
We can invite Michael McConaughey. Did I say Michael McConaughey? Wait, what's
it? Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew. And then I said McConaughey.
God. But it was also cool that Elon put his red Tesla Roadster into space with a dummy driver. Starman, when he launched his vehicle out, his vehicle's currently flying through outer space, and they just announced that it has sailed past Mars.
Damn.
Yeah. So there's literally just like a little car flying through space.
That's so, so crazy. Cool.
Isn't it?
God, where is it now?
Past Mars.
Yeah.
So it's headed on its way to.
Where would it be going next?
What's after Mars?
What if it like runs into something or like eventually it'll just keep going?
I mean,
what if some other galaxy aliens and a car just pulls up and they're like, what billions is of this? Years
from now? It's like,
it's a UFO. We've never seen this type like, of
what is that alien in there?
Thing.
That's funny. No, it absolutely could. But also, which was huge in the crime world this year, was the Gold State Killer, which we made an episode on, was caught using DNA matching. And the strategy that they used in order to find him, it was revolutionary because it's going to allow us to solve a lot of not only cold cases, but it's just going to allow us to solve cases a lot faster by matching up one's DNA with all these ancestral sites and genealogy websites that have this like data dump of all this DNA now. So
it's crazy how much they have.
So if you've given your DNA up to the ancestry websites, then you got to be, be good because they can find you now.
Yeah, we fucking did. So
don't tell them. No.
No, they know. They already know. We're fucking dumb. We didn't know. Oh, yeah, know
we
back
made
then.
A video about it. Oh, God.
Yeah, we filmed ourselves like tape.
And now they're already selling our DNA off to the pharmaceutical companies.
I've heard Ancestry is not as bad as 23andMe. Yeah. 23andMe is like the worst. They're the one who's made the big $500 million deal.
Yeah.
Ancestry claims that they don't sell shit. So I don't know.
Well, Ancestry claims you can delete your shit too. So
yeah, Ancestry is probably the way to go if you're like, because someone told me that they were like adopted and they still want to do it. I was like, dude, just do it. Like, yeah, there's all these conspiracies and possibilities, but like, if it's going to give you some type of closure and you were adopted or like you really want to know something about your family or some reason like that, like, whatever, just do it. But if you can avoid doing it, I would not recommend it. But, and if you do, use Ancestry.
Yeah. Or just have your, but at the end of the day.
We can't even guarantee. At the end of the day. Ancestry's probably lying.
At the end of, but here's the thing. At the end of the day, someone in your family, I guarantee you, has done it.
Yeah.
And they will find you still. Because you still show up. You're listed there.
But I think that's a good thing. See, I think it's great, actually.
The DNA thing is like,
finding all these criminals.
It's true. So, yeah. I mean, I'd rather find the criminals than.
But you don't want to give them your exact DNA because then health and willingly give it to them and sign
it
over.
Hold it hostage, yeah.
Because then they can start it's like using it with insurance companies and they can start fucking over your rates or not giving you coverage and all types of shit like that.
So that I thought that was very interesting. Now, this next story is another very disturbing story that I'm surprised that I really didn't know that much about until I started reading about it. And that is, we discovered the sickening scale of abuse in Pennsylvania's Catholic churches. Now, this is very, very alarming. And I know a lot of you are interested in us talking about, you know, the Catholic Church and the Vatican and, you know, there's a lot of corruption there and things like that. But this is just crazy. So in mid-August, the long-awaited report into sexual abuse in Pennsylvania's Catholic churches finally landed. And to call the contents horrific would be an understatement. It had been clear since the inquiry was launched by Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro in 2016 that awful things would be uncovered, but nobody was prepared for just how awful. This is the statistics that I'm about to give you are crazy. Over 300 abusers were uncovered, over 1,000 victims. Not only that, but across 70 years, priests had repeatedly raped children with impunity, leaving shattered young lives and scarred families in their wake. Of Pennsylvania's 8 dioceses, 6 actively failed to keep kids safe from pedophile priests. It's one of the worst abuse scandals the U.S. has ever seen, and these figures are just the tip of the iceberg.
Jesus.
There were also reports found in this investigation of priests raping children in hospitals, of making young boys perform oral sex on them, but the worst came at the report's conclusion. Of the 301 named abusers, only 2 were arrested. 2
That's
were arrested.
Fucking crazy.
The rest were dead or had escaped the statute of limitations, which the statute of limitations for these types of crimes is a mere 5 years. And this occurred over a long period of time. But the fact that these things potentially happened and there's people, you can't be prosecuted for it because you're outside the statute of limitations.
God, the statute of limitations pisses me off, honestly. I've seen so many cases where it's just so unjust and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So thankfully, the Justice Department has now launched a probe into the local church under the racketeering influenced and corrupt organization statute typically used in mob cases. So hopefully in 2019, justice will finally be done. But that is just alarming. And this is 100% real. And I mean, I think we all have at least heard of, you know, a lot of the, you know, sexual assault and abuse that has gone on in, you know, Catholic churches, unfortunately. And obviously, by no means are we saying all churches, all priests. This is a very, very small percentage, but it's still happening.
Yeah, it might
be
a heftier.
It's bigger than it should be. Let's
bigger
just say
than
that.
It should be. Yeah. That's
bigger a good than it should be. It.
Yeah.
Because I mean, my whole family on my dad's side is all Catholic. So
yeah, they're good people.
They would be, you know, very disappointed with this, obviously. And, you know, some just turn a blind eye to it and just say, you know, didn't happen. But it's concerning. And I think it definitely shows that there's a deeper issue potentially with being a priest and not being forced to abstain from
that's what
sex
I was just
your
thinking.
Entire life.
That's like really weird.
Isn't
like
it?
I was just literally thinking that, like, how bizarre it is to tell someone not to have sex. That's like such a big part of life,
and it's very
so natural and
thing.
Something
yeah.
you I feel like you should do. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of crazy that that's the rule, and obviously they're not going to fucking follow it.
Mm-hmm. It's very concerning.
I would love to see the statistics on priests on how many have actually followed it. Like, wouldn't that be hilarious? I'm sure it's less than 50%.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just thought that was a very interesting story and a big one that I don't think a lot of us have heard. So
yeah, I didn't.
It's an extremely big issue, and you know, we can address it more in a future episode and talk about the Vatican,
because
there's some crazy shit going on with that. But anyways, another big thing was Canada legalized marijuana, which was great, which hopefully the U.S. will follow. Next year would be great, but I doubt that will happen. But then the wildfires were crazy this year. The campfire that was recently occurred last month killed 88 people.
Yeah.
$10 billion in damages.
Oh, what a mess.
Just, yeah, crazy. And all goes back to, you know, how our climate's changing. But then the other thing that we haven't mentioned on here is the riots in France, dude. That shit's crazy, man. In the yellow vests and how they're, you know, protesting.
Yeah, that's
they're protesting.
Crazy.
They were protesting a fuel tax that was going to make it more expensive. But now they're just sort of they actually were able to get President Macron to just exit the tax.
Wow,
so they
really?
They did.
That's always cool.
They had to riot like crazy and like get crazy with it. And like
sometimes
Paris looked like
do.
It was like chaos. I don't know if any of you are listening from Paris. Or France, for that matter. I'm sure it's way crazier than we're even being depicted here.
Yeah, I don't.
It looked
really
like
know.
A war zone in the streets. Like,
oh damn,
it was crazy. Yeah.
God, well, that's not good.
Which, you know, protests having to become violent is never a good thing. But
it's like if that's the way they're
going
to listen,
that's what it takes to get done. Like shit.
Yeah.
So you know now they're you know, the movement has now started protesting a range of other economic issues, including increasing costs of living. So it's still continuing, and they're still trying to deal with it. It's kind of crazy, you know, so I don't know. We shall see how that situation unfolds. But let's get into some of the other scientific breakthroughs and discoveries of 2018. Let's start with, there's a new pill for peanut allergies.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say for penises. Because aren't they working on that too?
Yeah,
they are. A pill to like... birth control for
yeah
men.
That's actually on my list too. Yeah, there's drug makers are working on a pill for your penis and for peanuts.
Peanuts and peanuts. Penis.
So they're working on a male birth control pill, which is interesting, and I think we'll be hitting consumers pretty soon.
Well, that's good. Like, will men actually take it though? Are they
gonna should.
Be like, oh, this is like,
I think honestly,
feminine.
I think a lot of men will, because I know a lot of men are not wild about, you know, using condoms or whatever for whatever reason. So this gives them another option to just, you know, hey, I'm on the pill. We good, you know?
And an option to just make sure you're protected, because you could always like sleep with someone who says they're on the pill.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they just fucked it up or could didn't take it that day. Or
double it up.
Yeah. It'll double layer. Double protection.
Then you have 0%
No, but as a man, it's probably good to know you have a peace of mind and can count on yourself at least not to end up in a situation like that. So that is
I could see
cool.
a lot of men. Going, getting down with that for sure.
So then there's pill for peanuts.
For peanuts, yeah.
For peanut allergies. So that is you, my friend. Josh has a mildish.
Which it's hilarious because listen to this. So after a year of using this new treatment, 67% of kids with peanut allergies were able to tolerate about 2 peanuts.
That's it?
Yeah.
After a year?
So this is like, I think this is really like for people that have serious peanut allergy that like
accidentally
literally
could get some.
Like convulse and like have major, you know, major symptoms of it. Me, mine is mild.
Yeah.
My throat gets a little scratchy and I drink some milk. You need some milk. That's what I say. I need some milk and I'm good.
Milk.
And I'm good. I'm good because it coats the throat and takes away. But good news. There's a lot of people that have peanut allergies out there. If you have a peanut allergy, raise your hand. Let's see here. We've got, this is interesting. Researchers have been developing medical robots that are 1,000 times smaller than a human hair and can suffocate tumors.
Oh,
this
so
is something
cool.
that is absolutely coming in very soon. And that's this idea of IV injectable robots.
Yes. That's very cool.
That are micro enter the bloodstream and like crawl around.
It reminds me of like that movie. Remember? Did you ever see Osmosis Jones?
Osmosis Jones?
You don't know Osmosis Jones?
No.
Seriously?
Osmosis Jones.
I bet a lot of people out there know it. It's a movie. It was like popular when we were kids. It came out when we were kids. You don't remember this? Remember he was like an antigen?
I've never seen this.
Yeah, Osmosis Jones. They like go in and like fight diseases. It was like a war in the body.
Cool.
So it's kind of, they're not robots, but it does remind me of that. Like they would go in.
But imagine instead of having to have surgery. So like, let's say you have a brain tumor and instead of having to have this invasive surgery, they had a way, like if you had a tumor or something, they had a way to send in these tiny microscopic robots into your body and go to the site of the tumor and essentially take care of it for you. And just, I don't know what they do. Eat it, reduce it. I don't know. They would do something to it to eliminate it. And then I assume you would just somehow the robots would disintegrate, or maybe they would just pass in your, you know, somehow exit your body. But yeah, I think that's really interesting that, you know, we could potentially have robots be inside of us, but also saving us.
That's really interesting. I wonder, like, that would be really good for like biopsies, like things like that.
Yeah, like going and collecting samples for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like instead of having to cut it. And
they could go way into your like digestive tract and like, you know, and instead of having to get all, it's so uncomfortable with the cameras and the scopes and everything. But like if it was just, what if you didn't even feel it?
Yeah, no,
that's
you
so
don't feel
crazy
these,
to
I don't
think about. How cool.
That'd be crazy.
Dude,
if
I'm
you
here
did
for
feel
this
it.
One. That's pretty cool. I think that's awesome. A little scary. I don't know if I'd just jump into it, but maybe one day.
You'll like this one. Scientists harvested vegetables in a greenhouse in Antarctica.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Without the help of earth or daylight, scientists managed to harvest vegetables on a greenhouse in Antarctica.
Did they have heaters?
Here's what they had. They were operating out of the Namare station. And in April 2018, they harvested salad greens, cucumbers, and radishes in their high-tech greenhouse. And outside, the temperatures often drop below -4 degrees. But inside, the researchers created an environment hospitable to plant growth. Mm. And the point of this project is to hopefully one day help astronauts grow food.
That's what I was thinking.
On another planet.
Like this shows us that we can possibly grow things in a different environment.
Yep. Which makes you think, holy shit, they're actually really starting to prep for life on another planet. A lot of money and research and
the serious thoughts are absolutely headed there. It'll be more of a conversation probably in 50 years.
Telling you. Interstellar plot, guys. It's seriously what's happening.
For real.
This is interesting, too. And you had another point that you mentioned to me earlier, but researchers have learned how to reverse the aging process in mice.
Yep.
A team of Boston researchers led by Dr. David Sinclair, revealed they found a way to reverse aging in mice. Aging in mammals is related to a molecule called NAD, which is necessary for survival. NAD levels naturally drop over time, leading to age-related diseases. When Sinclair found a way to boost NAD levels via a dietary supplement in older mice, the cells became young again and the mice's overall health improved. This sounds very similar to what you were telling me about earlier with humans.
I saw this
about,
on Twitter.
Blood plasma.
So there is this guy.
The vampire molecule.
Yeah, he's known for creating this vampire molecule. What science? Dr. Sal Villeda.
Yeah, Villeda.
Villeda.
Yeah.
So basically what he's doing is taking plasma from younger bodies like teenagers and injecting it into adults and or older people and
that are starting
it's reversing
to age.
Their age. Like he said, it's like plastic surgery from the inside out, that it's like they look better. They are smart. They are like more with it mentally, stronger. So it's like, yeah. He's like, and then he was like, I want to be clear. This is age reversal. I figured out age reversal. This guy claims he literally figured it out. And right now it's like $8,000 a person or something crazy. That's honestly not that much for age reversal.
No, that's cheap.
But I feel like it was more than that. Maybe I'm not remembering right. But anyway, it's pretty crazy to think about, like, would you want to reverse your age?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the main thing is age-related diseases like Alzheimer's and cancer develop more frequently as you get older. Mm-hmm. So if you had the potential to reverse the aging process, you could potentially keep yourself from getting these diseases.
And he said this is not immortality. It's just age reversal. So I'm confused. Like, I don't know. Do you still live the same amount of time or can you live longer?
Well, like, that's the thing, right? Is it actually reversing all your organs, your heart? Is that reverse? Reversing,
he
or is
it
just
is.
The outer appearance
he
of
you? He said your whole body is like,
so if that's the case, then yeah, I mean, potentially you would live longer because.
But he says it's not, you won't be immortal. Like there's
right,
he
not
says
immortal.
It's still not a way to be like live forever.
If anything, it might give you some extra years. Like,
yeah,
think
extra
about it.
Years and a more enjoyable life.
Because what if like we were able to get the, you know, the age at which people die on average up over 100, like.
Yeah.
And but yet, you know, you're not old. You're still like your young body.
Like, what if like your 50, 60 year old body is kind of like where you
kind of where
at?
It like peaks out at? Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So, I mean, keep an eye on this one. I just literally saw this trending on Twitter today. So
many exciting things happening.
I know.
You know, I think technology could potentially save us, that or aliens. But right now, I think technology's what's going to, you know, be the most immediate solution to reversing a lot of these things that are happening to our bodies, to the planet and things like that. So I thought some of those discoveries were very interesting, but I wanted to talk about one of our favorite subjects, space, and some of the discoveries with space this year, because there was a few big ones. But before we jump into that, I want to thank Upstart for sponsoring today's episode. And if you've ever applied for a loan, it's a lot like applying for a job that you don't get to interview for. Instead, loan companies make their decisions based off your credit score and history without getting to know the whole you. Now, thanks to Upstart.com, it never has to be that way again. Upstart is revolutionizing the way you borrow money by rewarding you for your job experience and education in the form of a smaller interest rate, which is huge. Smaller interest rate means, you know, the less that the company takes back for giving you the loan, and it's basically just free money in a way. It's like money back in their pocket. So a lower interest rate is good. But the main thing with Upstart that is great is that they look at the whole picture. And when I was first starting out, I had all kinds of problems getting loans, student loans, things like that, because my credit was not very good. And because when you start out, you essentially have no credit. And, you know, if you ever miss one payment or something, it will send your score way down and make it way harder. And if you do get a loan, your interest rate's going to be really high. So what's great is that unlike traditional credit underwriting, which can be based or biased against people with a short credit history, Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when accessing your credit worthiness. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in less than 2 minutes without affecting your credit score. The best part, once your loan is approved, the funds will be transferred to you the very next business day. The next day. Over 100,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or to make a large purchase. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. Hurry to upstart.com/milehigher to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and it won't affect your credit. Again, that's upstart.com/milehigher. All right. So I wanted to talk about, before we talk about space, a few archaeological and historical discoveries. This one is interesting. They basically examined Hitler's teeth, Adolf Hitler's teeth.
Wow.
And revealed his cause of death.
What?
Yep.
When?
This year.
Wait, when this year though?
May 2018.
Oh my God. So was that like right after I did a video on it?
Maybe.
Didn't I do one in like, I think I did one in April.
Yeah.
I'm going to look.
I don't know. But anyway, in a new study, French scientists analyzed fragments of Adolf Hitler's teeth to prove that he died in 1945 after taking cyanide and shooting himself in the head. The research was published in the European Journal of Internal Medicine in May 2018, seeks to end conspiracy theories about Adolf Hitler's death through scientific analysis of the dictator's teeth and skull.
Damn, I must have just not... I had to
look a little bit to find this. I'm surprised that this wasn't everywhere.
I posted this in May 29th.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll address this. That in a sec, but...
Because, like, I thought they never found his skull. They
well,
determined that the skull's a 45-year-old woman.
No, well...
The skull that originally with the bullet hole, yeah, they did.
I don't know. This is just their teeth. I'm talking about their teeth. I don't know
he
about
says
the skull.
Teeth and skull.
Apparently Russia had his teeth and skull, which
interesting.
Again, this all comes back to like with any conspiracy theory, do you trust like these academics and these, you know, potentially government connected people to give us the truth? But according to the people that analyzed his teeth, they said that his teeth are authentic and there is no possible doubt. Though it's widely established that Hitler died in his bunker in Berlin, rumors of his escape are out there, and this research proves that he did not flee to Argentina in a submarine, and he's not in a hidden base in Antarctica.
Wow, I'm surprised. That's like embarrassing for me.
but at the end of the day, right? Like you and I haven't seen his teeth.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of us have heard about this.
Yeah, and this wasn't. I did a lot of research on this. I'm like confused.
Mm. Yeah, European Journal of Internal Medicine. So if they do, in fact, have Hitler's authentic teeth, which they say they do, then they have essentially proved that. Or this could be a giant cover up and they're just putting this out there as like an official statement to just solidify the story. And in reality, Hitler's still out there, or he's, you know, he escaped
somewhere.
In
Antarctica planning a world attack.
Yeah, he's rising back
up. That's
what
a lot of people think.
Yeah, a lot of people think he has a base in Antarctica or built, you know, the Nazis were there at one point, so... It's interesting.
That's crazy.
Here's another big thing that we discovered. A Paris-sized impact crater was discovered under Greenland's ice. The meteorite responsible may have weighed 5 billion tons. And so a study published in November described the crater, which was made by a half-mile-wide iron asteroid that slammed into Greenland between 12,000 and 3 million years ago.
When something like that hits, does it like just go into a million pieces?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But something that big would affect the entire planet. Yeah. I mean, that would completely.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Right.
That's really big. And this crater has been buried under thick ice in Greenland. And it's the first time ever that an impact crater of any size has been found underneath one of Earth's continental ice sheets, which is interesting that we still don't even know it's under all of the ice sheets on our planet. There could be even more evidence of all sorts of things under the ice that we just can't see yet. So this is, and I wanted to talk about this because somebody that I'm a big fan of, Graham Hancock, he's an author, researcher, very interesting guy who gives a totally different look at our human history, ancient civilizations.
Yeah, he's so fascinating.
He proposed that a cataclysmic event like this type of meteorite impact could explain anomalous evidence of an ancient civilization predating the Egyptians and Sumerians by thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory, which is called the Younger Dryas impact hypothesis supported the possibility that such an apocalyptic event could provide evidence for the existence of a lost civilization such as Atlantis. So, according to Hancock, the dust launched in the atmosphere from the asteroid's impact lightly lingered for as long as 1,600 years before temperatures began to rise. And this led to massive amounts of melted ice as the cold subsided, which in turn caused sea levels to rise. So this could also explain the great flood that occurred.
Oh, right. That's mm-hmm. in all the religions, yep, all yep. the texts.
A great flood.
Clearly a flood happened.
Potentially when this crater, maybe this crater is that it wasn't, you know, necessarily like God that flooded the earth, but a meteorite.
Yeah.
Melted everything and caused the sea levels to rise up and flood out everything.
Wow.
Which could explain also how if Atlantis got, you know.
Yeah.
Buried.
Yeah.
So very, very interesting.
Gotta do an episode
thing.
On Atlantis. I love Atlantis.
I know.
Would you guys like that?
Oh, I'm sure. Thumbs up for asking. Atlantis episode.
I don't even know why I ask that kind of shit. They never say no.
No.
Like, nah.
Which Plato even said that Atlantis was destroyed by a giant flood and earthquakes 9,000 years before the time of Solon.
And people always thought he was just writing fictional stories, but now they're thinking it could have been historical text in a creative language.
Mm-hmm. Some other interesting discoveries out of Egypt. They're continuing to discover Sphinx statues at different temples that they're uncovering.
Dude, the Sphinx is a big
deal. The Sphinx, that's the thing, is like there's something clear about this. Like,
yeah,
it's very interesting.
There's some type of secret or something we're missing about the Sphinx.
Absolutely.
So bizarre.
Because if the Sphinx is showing up in all these places, and the Sphinx is almost like a, it's like a monument, but it's like, it's a unifying monument. You know, it's like there's a connection with it. There's something that there's a reason for it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And it's a much deeper reason than we even know. So it's interesting that they're, as you know, because Egypt is continuing to do more development and things like that. And like this year they found that big giant black sarcophagus that we thought could have been somebody, you know, famous, but ended up being
like nothing.
Nothing really, or soldiers. But it's really interesting. I and it makes you wonder, like, why aren't we looking at the big Sphinx in more detail than we are?
I don't know.
So maybe there's a reason for it.
I think there probably is, because why aren't they? It doesn't make sense. There's why wouldn't a lot they be like
trying to
that
scan that thing with everything?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't want to. Maybe there's some like hidden secret behind it that will just
remember,
like,
that kid that Bariska said that? Kid that? Mm-hmm. The Russian boy. I have a video about it on my channel.
He claims
he was from Mars, and he claims that the Sphinx like carries some type of secret message, and we have to open it. But who knows? I think another psychic predicted that too. Someone else said something about it. I've heard that many times, the Sphinx. Like,
yeah.
Clearly something's going on with that.
There's absolutely something going on with that. But we found the oldest known human drawing, which pushes back, you know, the very beginning of Homo sapiens and, you know, our ancient ancestors, 30,000 mm-hmm. years older than what we previously thought.
That's so much time.
So, dude, it's like we have, like, here, the thing with history is, like, we really don't know that much. Like,
no.
We don't know that much about, especially ancient history.
Mm-mm.
We only know based upon what we find, but there's so much we haven't found that provides answers to how everything came to be the way it is today.
I think there's a lot of things that have been found and have been hidden from us or destroyed.
I mean, if humans were, Homo sapiens in the human form were around as far as 120,000 years ago, then that's a lot of time, dude. That's a lot of time that a lot of things could happen. Potentially an advanced civilization like Graham Hancock was talking about could easily have come up and fallen during that time. So this is interesting, though. A truck drove through Peru's ancient Nazca lines. And because of this, he wasn't supposed to do this, but because of this, they found 50 more of them.
What?
Yeah.
How did they not see it from the sky?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
That is so bizarre.
Which the Nazca lines are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially mysterious ancient symbols carved into the desert.
They're huge.
By pre-Incan peoples some 2,000 years ago.
Huge. It's insane. And they're like a lot of animal symbols and stuff like that. It's really weird.
Ancient Aliens talks a lot about it and possibly their extraterrestrial connection.
Yeah, because how else would they have been made?
How? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if what's making crop circles, right? So why couldn't, you know, they make some lines? Oh, he's so cute. Yep. So I thought that was really interesting. Trying to figure out the Nazca lines, we found more structures in Guatemala from the Mayan Empire, some 60,000 previously undetected. We found there that we have yet to excavate. We found the world's oldest intact shipwreck at the bottom of the Black Sea. This goes back like, it's like, basically everything is virtually intact still. The mast is still standing, the rudders are in place, and it's been like that for 2,400 years.
Wow.
Roman era, 17th century. How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
What else is on the bottom of the ocean? But when talking...
A lot.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Imagine the cool shit that's down there, dude.
Oh, yeah. But the biggest space discovery that happened this year was discovering water on Mars, for sure. The European Space Agency was able to confirm the possibility of a body of liquid water on the planet. Mm-hmm. And according to the findings, there's a 12.4-mile-wide lake under 1.5 kilometers below the upper ice cover. So
they also found out that, like, the soil in Mars just contains, like, a lot of moisture. Like, when you steam it out, you can create water.
And the building blocks for life, too. That was another thing, too, is they found... So, literally, we discovered that there was potentially at one point in time in history in all the billions of years, there was life there.
I think there was. Sort. I think that is, like, the result of nuclear war or
even
something.
Intelligent life. The planet looks like it got blasted to, like...
There's like radiation around it and stuff. There's a lot of scientists that have theories about there being nuclear war on Mars at one point.
Yeah, not to mention all of the interesting rock formations, pyramid. I mean, all sorts of weird, interesting anomaly have been detected on Mars. So that is very, very interesting. NASA's Kepler spacecraft. Shitty NASA. But their Kepler spacecraft, they decommissioned on November 15th, which was the legendary Planet Hunter. It made history by discovering thousands of exoplanets, dramatically increasing the number of known worlds circling other stars. By 2008, the year before Kepler's launch, scientists had confirmed the existence of 340 exoplanets, but Kepler contributed another 2,328 worlds with an additional 2,425 candidates waiting to be confirmed. Damn. That's a lot of planets out there and potentially planets that could have life, you know, or most likely have some form of life. The other thing that happened this year, which some of these I made videos on my channel about, by the way, especially this one, the fast radio bursts, the mysterious fast radio bursts, which are intense emissions of radio light, which can pack as much as energy as a century's worth of solar activity into a brief millisecond long burst. The thing that's interesting about it is that the source of these and where they're coming from and what is sending them is a mystery. So astronomers in October announced 20 previously undiscovered fast radio bursts, including the closest one to Earth and the brightest one ever seen. So the astronomers are literally listening, in a way, listening to the rest of space for these fast radio bursts and trying to maybe figure out if it's some type of signal. Maybe it's a message. I mean, who knows? I mean, we sent these out. Carl Sagan sent them out back in, I believe, the 60s. And he, you know, maybe we're getting a response, you know, because, I mean, it takes a long time for these to travel to distant galaxies. But maybe, you know, we're starting to get a response to some of these things.
That'd be nice.
And then the year closed out with a...
Oh, this was cool.
Yeah, you liked this one especially. But the year closed out with a new solar system friend. Astronomers announced the newest known member of our planetary collection, a potential dwarf planet that is the most distant body ever observed in the solar system, nicknamed Far Out.
I love that.
Far Out.
And it's pink.
It's cool. Yeah. Far Out orbits more than 100 times the distance from the Earth to the sun, taking more than 1,000 years to take a single trip around the sun. 1,000 years around the sun. It's way out there. Which is not even that far out.
Do you think they named it that because it's far away? Well, obviously they did. Or did they do it like kind of like far out, like, ooh.
As like a dig out. Or something?
No, not a dig. What, a dig on the planet? Yeah, they're trolling on that planet.
Maybe.
Piece of shit.
Maybe.
Just kidding. That's pretty cool though.
But it's a It's a round pinkish dwarf planet about 310 miles across. So it's not very big. Well, it's big, but it's not Earth big. So pretty interesting. And I mean, obviously, on this podcast, we talk a lot about UFOs and UFO sightings. And and I believe those are up this year, actually. Last year, we had some 7,000 UFO sightings that were reported to the Mutual UFO Network, who keeps track of all the sightings that are reported to them and investigates them. And I think we're on track to surpass that number for by quite a bit. There was a lot of different UFO sightings in the news and in the mainstream media, more so this year. That was interesting. So it's very, you know, when you kind of put all of these stories together and you kind of look at it all together, you start getting this picture of what's going on in, on our planet. And and what you start to see is, you know, we're looking outward more than we're looking inward to our planet. Like, and especially those at the higher echelons of society and power and wealth, they're already looking beyond, you know, Earth. They're looking at, Elon Musk is looking at putting people on Mars in our lifetime, and we're going to see some major things. And, you know, especially when it comes to the UFO topic, especially if we get some type of, you know, disclosure of extraterrestrial intelligence, things like that. I think we're, every year that passes, we're inching towards that more and more, and maybe even a full disclosure, which would be, you know, amazing. But
that would be so nice.
Until then,
but also a little freaky.
But a little freaky, because it's going to shake up everything. Yeah. I mean, it's going to shake up everything, and you know, we're all going to have to sort of adjust our lives and mentalities to this new idea that we're not alone and we're sharing, you know, this planet potentially. A lot of people believe that aliens are among us, and a lot of them have genetically, you know, crossbreed with humans, and there's hybrid alien human beings experiencing life as a human here and to conduct research. And there's all sorts of wild things that could be going on. And if any of these come out to be like 100% true fact, it's going to completely change 2019, especially if it happens this year.
I have a feeling something big's going to happen in 2020.
Yeah, 2020 at the end of a decade.
I don't know if you want to hope for that, though, because like it's going to be a little fucking scary.
Well, regardless, I think we're going to see some big stuff, some big events this year.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of big things happening. So I don't know. Hold on to your seats here, guys, because it's going to be a wild ride in 2019. But we want to just thank you guys for joining us for today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you found it interesting, relaxing. Hopefully it was a good time. We had a good time just talking about this stuff with y'all. But if you did enjoy this episode, smash that like button. If you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe, iTunes, and YouTube. We really appreciate it. Guys, we got some really interesting stuff coming. We're going to keep going higher and higher on this show.
Higher.
So, you know, we really are. And lots of really interesting things. I can't wait to get higher with you guys.
Sorry. That just good? Sounded really funny.
Didn't it? But you got any final words you want to say to the to the people?
It's been a crazy year. It's been a really good year as far as it's been really concerned. Good.
Absolutely.
It's been like so fun doing this podcast. So
yes.
Just another thank you guys for being with us for the last year. We're looking forward to the future.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like I said, we got big things coming. I think you guys are going to be super pumped. So if you're contemplating on whether you're going to stick around or not, I highly suggest you stick around.
I feel like if they listen to this whole fucking episode, they're not contemplating whether to stick around.
That's true. We pack a lot of information in our podcast. So, I know it can be overwhelming for some, and others, you guys just gobble it up and can't wait for more. You're like, please give me more. So we're super excited, super pumped. And
we will be back next Monday like normal.
Back to our regular schedule. So this was an anomaly because of the New Year holiday. So apologies on that. But that is it for us today. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Mile Higher Podcast, talking about 2018 breakthroughs and discoveries. It was real. Thank you for listening.
And stay woke.
See you next time.
Thank you.